Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here on KLBB Club Pill 20 for the next hour at our new and improved 2 p.m. time, along with Tom Hsu working all things technical over in there.
Doing my due diligence here.
Due diligence, I like that. Just enough, right? Just enough.
Enough to keep, this job.
Never.
And keep this boat afloat.
No, don't we all? I'm very excited. We have a guest today that one of the first people that actually observed this really bizarre thing I do on the internet, tcmedianow.com. I've mentioned this website before.
Oh, just maybe once or twice.
Yes. If you like things you hear on Flashback Twin Cities, you can go to tcmedianow.com. Amy Gusson of the Pioneer Press, pioneerpress.com, twincities.com. Welcome to Flashback Twin Cities.
Hey there.
A few years ago, Amy said, hey, who are you and what is this thing you do? Because I had, again, these local...
Get that a lot.
That's what I did, yeah.
These local video clips that I had found from my own personal collection, and I thought that... people wanted to see him, and surprisingly, people did. And Amy's one of the couple people in town that at first I thought that, no, someone's not actually reaching out to me for this, right? But someone did. And, you know, we had a conversation, and Amy continues to remind me that she's not from here, but I'm, you know, educating her on this vast knowledge of history of our town. Where are you from?
Austin, Minnesota.
Oh, you're from Austin. Okay. So,
yeah.
you're not completely far away from the metro area.
No, not totally. And I have a lot of family in Stillwater, actually.
Okay.
So I'm very familiar with Stillwater and Bayport when I was growing up. So I did catch a little bit of the Twin Cities news, but not a ton. But
Austin had their own TV station. So
we did, yeah.
So you were inspired through those local channels to
no,
do
No, I wasn't. It's kind of funny. I was
not
thinking about that on the way over. And do you know who Beth Bednar is?
I don't.
Okay, she was kind of our TV celebrity down there.
Okay.
I never once met her in person. I'd never once walked by her in the street, never saw her at the supermarket. So, you know, to me, she was famous, mm-hmm. you know, on TV. And the myth grew because I'd never seen her in person, you know. I think I'd been out to the TV station once, and it is a Hubbard-owned TV station.
It wasn't always, but it's just been the last 20 years or so.
Right, yep.
And... Now, I never reveal my age, nor do I ask anyone else's age, but were you present during the 85, 86 strike down in Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're this is the area you're familiar with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very familiar with. Yeah, I was in fifth grade, actually.
Okay.
And in my class was one of the head P9 leaders' daughters, and then another person in my class was the head of the grocery store that, you know, supported Hormel. So I was in the, you know, middle of this, you know, as a 10-year-old. So it was kind of crazy down there during that time.
And as a grade schooler myself, one thing, even in that, you know, a little younger, you know, at that age, as I realized watching Austin get bombarded with the satellite trucks, I mean, this wasn't just local, it was a national story.
Right.
That town wasn't prepared for the amount of media coverage and what became of that.
Yeah, it was just crazy. I don't remember that so much as just the conflict between families who never, you know, still don't talk to each other these days.
Yeah.
And my father was a professor at the college, the community college. And so, you know, there were lots of outlets trying to talk to him because he did a lot of sociology. And, you know, and he just kind of had to try to stay out of it because, I mean, that was the kind of thing. If you said anything anywhere, you either took one side or the other. There's no way to be impartial.
Well, no, and there's been so many stories, you know, since then on this particular topic, and it's still there's people that they've not been able to talk to each other again since that moment.
Right.
It's really a very very dark spot in our local history. So as you weren't inspired by any of this thing called TV growing up, tell me a little about the journey from growing up in Austin to being the big time. Or according to the Pioneer Press, the A&E reporter.
I'm an A&E reporter, yeah.
That's right.
You know, when I was a kid, I watched a lot of MTV. So
sure.
That was kind of my
school. They played music videos back in that era.
Yeah. I could tell you the artist. I could tell you the record, the song, the title. You know,
to the young kids listening to the show, which a lot of them do, MTV used to play music videos.
Yeah. Yeah, and they would list, you know, everything from the record label to the song to the record it was on. It was crazy, and it was so... you know, it was influential, but it was also, now I look back and I think, boy, if I were a parent, would I let my kids sit and watch that all day long? Probably not. But, you know, back then, who cared, right? We didn't wear helmets on our bike when we rode our bikes. So
I think there's this idea back in that era that if it was on TV, it's already been filtered once before, so yeah. We don't need to worry about what we're watching.
Right. And, you know, back then, well, I think this is, back then award shows were so big, and that's starting to happen again. We're starting to see that again with Twitter. But back then, award shows were so important. And I remember my father would never let me watch TV in the living room. But on, like, when the Grammys were on, I actually got to watch TV in the living room, you know?
So one like, color TV in the house, probably, right?
We had to.
Oh, okay.
But it was the living room one. It was the big one. But, you know, just little things like that. So TV really did play a big part in my life as growing up. But then, you know, I went to the community college for a couple years in Austin, because my father was a teacher there and they made me stay. I didn't understand the, you know, financial benefit of that. So, but anyway, so I stayed there and then I really fell in love with music and arts and entertainment stuff. So I started writing for the paper. I ended up at the U. I lobbied for a job at the Daily, Minnesota Daily. I got a job there, ended up being, did the calendar for a while, which was really popular back then when calendars were popular. Entertainment calendars, now you just go to the internet. But and then it ended up being music editor. And at that time, while I was still in college, I started freelancing, doing music reviews for, you know, Star Tribune, Pioneer Press. I wrote a little bit. I think it was an intern at City Pages for a while. There's an alt country magazine called No Depression I wrote a lot for. So that's how I got my foot in the door. I was a music writer.
And then slowly this evolved into all forms of entertainment. As again, as entertainment has used to be very, very segmented. You know,
yes.
Music, entertainment, and also the papers used to have a different beat for every single,
right.
You know, movies, TV,
right.
Theater. In the world of consolidation, and no one
right.
more than you can explain this.
Exactly.
You become all in one.
Yeah. And I got on board at the Pioneer Press. I was still freelancing and I still did a lot of stories from them, but my mother told me I needed health insurance. So I took a job clerking for them. So I did entertainment listings, you know, and so I did that stuff. And then I wrote, and then eventually a job came open and I, you know, was A&E reporter. So I actually did some food coverage back then too, restaurant coverage. Now it's evolved into more, you know, TV, local TV, a lot of comedy, and a lot of visual art.
And how many years at the paper right now? At
14.
14. And
on staff.
And how many years as the A&E reporter?
Well, I started A&E report when I was, I don't want to tell you that because then you'll figure out how old I am, but I already told you I was in fifth grade. All right. Anyway, so I started doing, as a paid, I suppose it's been almost, I don't know, almost 18 years.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that long, but
yeah.
it's amazing how these years slip by.
Yeah.
And did you think, and my guest today, Amy Gustin of TwinCities.com, did you think that, you originally obviously had some passion for music.
Yeah.
Did you think that TV was going to be such a big part of your life when your early days of journalism, you're probably writing on, you know, WordPerfect or whatever it was, like I was.
Oh, yeah.
And then you know, now you're shooting off a tweet or a blog about American Idol. Did you think that this is where it was all going to come?
No.
And did you even notice, like, after a few years, like, oh, wait a second, I really know this pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're writing for alternative country magazines. You're writing for our City Pages. This is not the mainstream, flavor
right.
of the day. And now you're writing for flavor of the day.
Yeah. I mean, back then, you know, in the late 90s, I worked at the Electric Fetus, too. So all I wanted to do is work at the Electric Fetus and write about music. That's all. And then that job came open at the Pioneer Press, and I thought, all right, there goes the music store. I need health, you know, this health insurance over here. I need to be full time. And, you know, I mean, it turned out to be a good decision. I mean, I love the Electric Fetus, but I think it turned out to be the best decision for me. And now, you know, I sit around and tweet while I watch TV shows. And it sounds, you know, some people are like, all you do is sit on your couch and watch TV. And I'm like, no, but have you ever really had to pay attention while you're watching a TV show?
Well, plus also right now, in order to watch TV right now, and I had the same trouble myself just because now we're so digitally engaged and multitasking that
yeah.
I have, there's been points where I have two laptops, you know, and the
yes.
TV in front of me because I'm, you know, trying to work, you know, work on the Facebook, the Twitter, watching the actual content, and you have to watch it live. I mean, a lot of us are able to watch these things
right.
DVR'd. I know that we've corresponded. And you said, "Sorry, I have to watch American Idol tonight."
Leave me alone.
Yeah,
Tom.
I can't. I can't. You know, because yeah. you know we've wanted Amy to be at a couple of my events in the past, but she actually has to watch American Idol, and you have to actually you can't yeah. passively watch it. You have to be actively watching it because your boss is expected
right.
to be. Tweeting about
oh,
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't even, you know, I take bathroom breaks during the commercials, you know, like they used to do, you know, I'd get my snack during the commercial. But yeah, that's interesting that you say that because I used to watch American Idol. I even did a podcast 1 year. I think it was back in 2006 where we had like over 100,000 listeners, mm-hmm. which was crazy. But I would watch it no matter if there was a local or not. Mm-hmm. And now it's come to the point where we only watch if there are local people on it, you know.
And do you find because, you know, in Minnesota we have just even the cable channels. There's so much more local connections now to Minnesota.
Yeah.
You take Biggest Loser.
Or that was
is
a good
it
one.
The Voice? There's so many more. Well, first of all, the number of TV shows has increased throughout the year.
Right.
I remember it used to be fall and spring finales. Now we have mid seasons. We have, I remember shows like Glee would house and have two seasons throughout the year, and I didn't
yeah.
understand that. I still don't understand that.
Well, interesting about that though is I think a lot of, and I don't have any concrete. You know, proof to back this up, but I'm guessing a lot of those reality shows were like, oh, hey, we've got a really big viewership in the Twin Cities. Let's make sure somebody from Minneapolis is on our show or, you know, something like that. I think there's definitely a connection there. Like I said, I don't have any proof of that, but it's kind of a no-brainer. And then they get a lot of media because it's not New York. Who cares if a New Yorker is on The Biggest Loser?
Right,
but
right.
if there's somebody from Stillwater, heck yeah, we're going to cover that, you know?
So you're saying that's why we don't have a lot of Montanans and people on these reality shows.
That might be a good... I have not... Yeah, that's probably a good point.
If you go like in New York and L.A., I mean, even the talk shows that are, you know, originating from there, everyone in the audience is from New
right.
York and L.A. or everyone in the guest list is. There's just been a lot of Minnesota connections in reality TV the last year and a
right.
lot of interesting stories, which I know that you've been covering. For
yeah.
the paper.
In fact, when next time Comic Standing comes, I think it's on NBC on Thursday, we should have 4 comics from here that will be on there.
And let's back now.
Yeah.
And Roseanne is a judge now? And
Roseanne's a judge. Wanda Sykes took it over as executive producer.
Okay.
So I'm kind of excited about it this year. But yeah, so we'll have a lot of faces there and a couple comics that actually started at Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis that will be on there too. So it's going to be exciting for Minnesotans to watch, I think.
Do you find yourself when you watch these programs, much like much of us, it has that peak and burnout, then you're like, why am I watching this still?
No, I love every minute of it.
Really? That's great. That's great. Passion for your job.
No, gosh. Sometimes you just want it to end, you know? You just want it to end.
And there's programs, like I look at programs like Survivor, and CBS is not an advertiser of ours, so I can say this. I'm surprised, like, this show is still on? Wasn't this canceled 5 years ago?
I'm one of the few people who really never got into Survivor. Mm-hmm. I have to say, it just didn't interest me. It was one of those things where, I think other people at the paper have covered it if there's a Minnesotan on there. I think I've done it a couple times where I've interviewed them or something like that, but I haven't watched it. It's just one of those shows that never interests me, but that thing is still going, so, you know.
Someone's watching it.
Yeah. Somebody is watching it.
Someone's watching. Not you though.
Not me.
What,
sorry.
Of the reality fear that's out there right now, what do you enjoy, if any of it?
You know, it's so funny. I feel like I maybe represent a lot of America in the way that I do get really into a show and then, boy, it just drops off my radar, like, you know, crazy. And I love Top Chef. It was one of my favorites forever. And then this season, I just didn't really have any love for it anymore,
and,
you know?
And by the way, I've been watching a little more TV than I normally have lately, just because the weather's been so
yeah.
beautiful outside. Was it true there was a show on Fox that was going to be like Prince Harry is dating?
Yes, and I don't think there is a Minnesotan in that cast.
But
I checked.
Was that a real show that I saw coming up before?
Yeah, this summer. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Tom,
no, it's coming up, Tom. Don't worry. We'll get it on your DVR.
Oh, this one here is.
Let's,
you know,
do this,
yeah,
then.
He's, well, it's kind of like Joe Millionaire. That was, it was big
yeah.
1 year. They figured out, let's try that again. It didn't work out so well the second
yeah,
time around.
Yeah, they didn't. There's been a few that they haven't tried again. One of them, remember the one on CBS with the kids? I can't remember the name of it. It was they put all those little kids on that ranch, and they had to like survive and create this community. And
wasn't it Don Imus's? Oh, never mind.
And it was crazy, and they got a lot of pushback from it, so they didn't bring it back again. But that was like Oh, I should probably not admit to liking that, but I kind of did. It was interesting, you know?
It's okay. We can be truthful here, things we like. You know, let's take a break real quick. I actually want to talk to you more about the social media interaction now with the audience out there.
Yeah.
And really what, you know, how that's changed from, the early days of print, you know, print paper
yeah.
to this very instant communication. So let's take a break on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with my guest, Amy Gustin of St. Paul Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. We were talking about before the break, and I wanted to ask you about, you started out your journalism career. You're about the same age I am, but we're not too old to remember that there's a point where you publish your story, and that was the end of it. Okay?
Right, right.
Or you put something out there, whether it be on, you know, TV, radio, and it was done. And now everything is recorded. And then
right.
whether it be a phone conversation someone has with their significant other or a column you put online, everything
yep.
is out there. What do you have a very interesting relationship with? Do you have some certain readers that are frequently giving you feedback or
yeah.
questions,
yeah.
blame you for what's on TV?
Yeah, you know, I haven't had that. I get a lot of whenever anybody loses their job at a TV station.
Sure.
I get a lot of calls complaining to me, and I have to explain to people that you need to call this TV station, otherwise you're not getting anywhere. I get a lot of those calls, a ton of those calls. But yeah, I was just thinking, social media is so interesting because one of the things I love about it is that, you know, if I'm home watching a TV show, there's probably a few other thousand people doing that too. You know, so if I'm tweeting, they're tweeting back at me. They often agree with me and disagree with me. And how do I handle that? And it's a whole new different dynamic. And I think it's, for local media, like especially TV people, it's crazy. I mean, you know, you get on, you know, Deadspin or you get on Gawker and you are viral and you know, a lot of people try to hide from it. A lot of people, you know, deal with it right away. That's really interesting how people deal with that.
We've had, in the last few months, we've had with Randy Meyer and Tim Blotz from Channel 9 on.
Yeah.
And both of them have had experiences. First of all, both of them had experiences from that pre-internet era where you got letters and phone calls about
yeah.
whatever happened wrong. But also now they get the emails. And plus, if there's a on-air situation or a flub or a wrong word, it's there forever and it's repeated
right.
nonstop.
Right, and it's
look at careers that have
yeah.
been look at careers not so much here, but look at some of these other smaller markets where you see some of these things have gone viral and careers have been ruined in one night. Who's
right.
who's that anchor up north that he didn't know the camera was on and he started
right.
started off on a monologue that didn't
yeah.
go too well.
Right, right. Well, and we had a local anchor here too who was trying to say the word flag and he forgot the L, and you know, I mean, and one of the nicest guys and. The thing about him is that he dealt with it right away. He addressed it, and it kind of went away. I think the more you put it away, you know, you try to ignore it, and you don't address it. I think that gets worse and worse and worse.
Wasn't there something like that about talking about the monarchy or the prince was coming to visit America from England, something like that?
There was some,
oh,
yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
yeah. There's been a few other ones, and even if you just are like, you know, doing a live shot on the ice and you fall. I mean, that goes viral, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's just like, what do you do?
Well, then Family Guy parodies it about a year later.
Yeah.
Oh, the greats.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that is who you are for a while, unless you can figure out a way to address it, deal with it, and be somebody else, you know?
We talked about, with Nick Coleman here a couple weeks ago, about the Donald Sterling. And I don't want to get into that, but I do want to.
I don't either.
What I want to talk about is... the way we record and archive, first of all, in a way, I love it because I, as an archivist and
right.
a historian, I love being able to do this. But everything we say now, there's nothing right now that's off record. And I know back in Journalism 101, someone tells you if you say something off record,
yeah.
it's not off record. But everything's on record now. And Bill Maher, who I don't always agree with, he did a couple weeks ago, he did say are we at the point now where there's no conversation we have between two people right now, or even the privacy of your own homes, that's not going to be broadcast out there?
Yeah, and you don't know who's sitting next to you at a restaurant.
Right.
I mean, and that's always been the case. But now that person could be sitting next to you and tweeting all about what you're saying about somebody else, or just something that personally happened to you. And if they recognize you, or even if they don't, they're just, you know, say, person next to me said this. Well, somebody's going to figure out it's you. And it's kind of sad. You know, it's kind of sad that you don't have any of that privacy. But then if you're in the media, it's kind of exciting.
But again, as a reporter, I mean, you're counting on sources from the inside.
Exactly.
And let me ask you this question also. As a person who now you know beyond just the national programs or flavors of the day, our guest today, Amy Gustin, who also writes about local TV, you write about local programming, local anchors, mm-hmm. all that gossip stuff, you want to call it.
Yeah,
I know you don't like that word.
I'm more of featurey.
Feature, yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, no, you're not a gossip columnist, but
no.
But you do have to write about personnel decisions.
Yeah.
Or, does it make it sometimes challenging for the people that you're trying to use as sources, and then you have to be critical also of what's happening? Does that create challenges as you're trying to?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you just have to do is tell the truth and be fair, and not blow it up into something. And you can't blow it up into something and say, you know, come from it at a biased point of view or something like that, and turn it on its head. That kind of stuff, I just, you know, put it out there, try to get a hold of both parties and let people know what they're saying, and leave it at that. And, you know, I mean, it's crazy because there have been so many different personnel shakeups, and every channel does it for different reasons. And, you know, you kind of know the insider reason, but it's just sometimes that's how it works, you know?
Well, there's speculation, and there's also the official reason.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my favorite always is, whether it be, you know, in the stations of town, so-and-so no longer works here. Well, we know that.
Yeah, and we don't discuss personnel issues.
Which is a good thing, but
yeah.
People always want to know what was the real reason.
Right, right. And, you know, there's so many people sign documents or, you know, contracts or whatever, and they leave, like, the non-disclosure stuff, and you know, you got to respect that. You also want to tell people what's going on. It's a hard balance.
You know, one thing working here, and reason why, like, for example, tcmedianow.com is able to survive is people do take the media here and the, you know, people presenting it very, very to heart. I mean, these are people that they have personal relationships with. And this is a market I think is very different in other places I've lived and visited, where we're Flavor Land. Our celebrities are people that, you know, much like your friend in Austin there, that's a celebrity.
Right.
But again, when they are, let's say, taken away from us through a personnel change or a change of direction, people get sensitive to that. I know that you frequently write "Where Are They Now?" columns.
I need to do one soon because I think they're one of the most popular things that I write.
And in fact, Brian Lambert also said that in his years of paper, that those were always the most, he'd always get kind of these lists of people that he needed to kind of like catch up on, and here's where they are.
Yeah.
And in that era, it was harder because you didn't really Google people. You didn't really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. It, people love to know where people are, and sometimes then they can tell you what happened, you know, by that point. And yeah, but these people are, you know, they deserve to be respected, I think. And a lot of people, they're kind of an easy target to make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hair alone, you know,
right.
I mean, if somebody has hair that, you know, a hair out of place or whatever, they're easy to make fun of. But, you know, I think we have such a strong TV news team, you know, the whole Twin Cities. We have such strong TV news folks.
Very competitive.
Very good, very competitive, very solid. And I just, you know, I really respect what they do. And I'm not there to tear them down or anything like that. And what our listeners really love is when you do those stories about who they are as people. You know, and the stations are getting smarter, and this has changed over the years, but the stations are getting smart to this about actually doing those stories by themselves, you know, without me coming after them.
Well, I think they're giving more personal access, first of all, just through emails and blogs now and tweeting. And everyone, I've had people from Channel 9 here and Channel 5, they do freely say our management expects us to be on social media. They expect to be interacting with the audience. And I look at Channel 11 especially, they're very connected with their blogs and also with their personal causes that each of their yeah. people promote.
Right. And I don't know if you saw that Channel 11 special. What was it? A couple nights ago with the prom.
Yes.
The prom
yes.
Yeah. See, that's something in the past they might, and I don't know exactly when this started and when stopped, but that's something in the past I would have called them to ask them for pictures and put them in the paper. And now they're smart to that, that their viewers want to see that. And I mean, that's really smart of them.
And didn't Mark Rosen go to prom too? Why is all the people, all the needy guys going to prom now? I mean, I was trying to get Tom a prom date a few weeks ago and we didn't have any calls.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'll get over it one day.
I mean, what girl wouldn't have the dream to be go to prom with Tom there?
Well, it's prom is very popular these days. But yeah, so they showed all their old, you know, prom pictures, and yeah, Rosen did go to prom with somebody, didn't he?
Well, it was right after Jack did he took the ESPN reporter to prom,
and then all
of a sudden Mark Rosen's going to prom. Is this the new thing now? We take a. Have you been asked prom?
I haven't. Okay, all right. I'm not a prom kind of person, so don't ask me anybody. Okay. Don't.
Just going to say I went to prom in a zoot suit.
Hey, well, you know.
Nice. But yeah, so they're doing, you know, just doing things that normally we would have featured in the paper before, but they're actually doing them, and sometimes, you know, they might not have done that before. Or they're, you know, really, you know this, they do multiple stories if somebody's on a reality show or if there's a TV connection. I think we were talking about this at MASH. I was just watching the footage you had from CCO newscast right after the last episode of MASH. Yeah, where there were, 121 million viewers. They teased having stories about MASH coming up in the newscast, mm-hmm. but what they were like 15, 20 minutes in. Can you imagine now?
Oh,
Would that not be the lead story?
No, it'd be an all-night coverage.
Yeah.
I found some video that's 30 years old. And remember the show Real People?
No.
This is a really old one. It was one of the first, it wasn't a reality show, but it was when you took like kind of obscure hobbies people did. And I think mm-hmm. Fran Tarkenton hosted it. But wow. it was, and they had Minnesota people occasionally, but I had some video. And they did a whole week of segments locally in Channel 11. This is 31 years ago. But that's really, now all the stations are owned by their parent companies now.
Right.
That's what it is now. It's, you look at, if when Cheers went off the air 21 years ago, I remember it was like all Cheers all the time. And it was a full night of news coverage of Cheers. Then Jay Leno was on Cheers. Then some Cheers reruns. And then the contest of Cheers. And that's what it is now.
Yeah.
I heard 2.5 Men, is that show that's going to be on next year? That's going to be a whole full 6 months of coverage when that goes off the air.
Right. And then they'll have a TV critic on to talk about that show. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of crazy.
The impact on our society of Charlie Sheen, right? It's happening.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, but I think they're doing a better job of connecting with viewers through social media. And, you know, some people are better than others at doing it. And those people might be, you know, maybe they got a job, you know, got a promotion based partly on their popularity on social media and the way they are able to connect, where maybe they wouldn't have had that job if they didn't have that outlet to show, you know, their bosses that they can connect with people.
Were you always a techie?
You
have to be now. Was this something that came naturally to you, or was this a learning curve?
Oh, no, it came natural. I mean, I think I was at the right age when the internet hit, mm-hmm. you know, an email came where it was like, you know, this is awesome. I love this.
You know, never let age fool you, because there's people that the age number is much, you know, higher than me, but they can, you know, rebuild a computer, you know, in their sleep.
Yeah.
And people that are, you know, younger than me, much younger than me, that it's beyond their control. And the tough thing is, especially talking to people that have worked in TV, radio, and print, you went to school, and really the job itself didn't change too much until the last 5-6 years.
Right.
I mean, you provided a story, did some editing, you put it in there, and now your job is, there's 3 or 4 jobs you have. And even in TV, you're not only doing a story, you're shooting and editing half the time now, too.
Right. And, you know, I mean, 9 years ago when I did that first podcast, it was a weird thing. And now, you know, we've got a podcast network with very big names around here, you know?
Yeah, we had Mishkiana here at the show a couple weeks ago. And I said to him, you know, he tried a podcast with City Pages a long time ago.
Right.
And that was an anomaly. Now everyone has a podcast now.
Yeah.
And I think that that'll be interesting to see how that particular. Have you talked to Tom Bernard and that crew about the podcast?
I did a story and talked to Sean, his nephew, who's running it. And I talked to Mishki and I talked to Rusty Gatenby about it. It'll be interesting to see what people do, you know, if they tune in, if they listen. I know Bernard's getting a good following, but he is very popular, you know? And it does take time for that stuff to grow, you know. But see.
There are some big names and people that are not used to failing in that group there. So it'll be interesting how that pans out.
Yeah, I think Mishki's thing is very cool. It's very
and
cool.
He has, we had him on the show, and by the way, one of the best guests we've ever had, but he has a very loyal following.
Yeah.
And I think that no matter where he went, he would have a base following, and that's, it's just, you know, from, you know, critic to critic, it's
right.
Amazing that how many stations he's worked at with a very different programming that he's been able to be the counter programming and been successful at all.
Right,
this.
Yeah. And I think that's just because he's just really got a true vision of kind of what he wants to do, you know, and I think that's really brave of him to stop doing radio because it wasn't right for him.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with that. So,
what's the big things going on this month? It's May. It's sweeps month. What's the hot, what's going on hot right now on TV this
what's
month?
Hot?
I mean, we lost our local contestant on the.
On The Voice.
Right.
Yep. Kat Perkins. She's gone. She's not on. And then, next Comic Standing will start next week, and we'll have a bunch of people on that. You know, Jason Davis is leaving, so that'll be, you know, big for KSTP.
And he was on the show, on Sam Turner's show today, so I'm sure
that'll be big on KSTP. You know, as far as that, when summer comes, there is another show. There's a local woman. She's out in Hollywood now, but her name is Melissa Peterman. Do you know her?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, she was one of the hookers in the Fargo movie.
This one here.
I can't remember. Number two, was it? I think. I can't remember. But she went out to Hollywood, and she was a star on Reba's show, Reba McEntire's sitcom, for a while. And then she's done various things since that. And she is a host on a game show on ABC that starts its second season on May 31st. It's called Bet on Your Baby.
What are we betting on?
It's, you know, their parents bring their between 2 and 4 year olds on, and I know it sounds ridiculous. It's crazy, but it's so funny. You know, the kid will be in a separate room, and one of the parents will be out in the audience, and, you know, they'll have to decide what toy their baby will go for. They have 4 toys to choose from, and they win $5,000 if they pick the right one. I mean, and it's just this crazy show, and it's so funny.
And what network is this on? We want to make sure
ABC, and it's Saturday nights because, you know, people with kids that age, they're home.
You have
thought it was going to be Thunderdome.
Yeah, they do call it the Baby Dome, the little room they're in.
You have child or children?
Just one, and he's almost 3. Yeah.
Okay, so you're home Saturday night watching Bet on Your Baby.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Now, do you find it tough to be able to watch TV without being critical right now? Do you ever just be able to watch TV and, like, I'm just going to watch this movie or this program and not think about what I would say about it?
Yeah, it is hard once you... I think anytime you do something that you love and then you end up doing it for a job is a double-edged sword, kind of. Because there are parts of me that just want to watch something and enjoy it and not have to think about it critically, you know, especially The Voice. You know, I just want to have fun with one of those singing competitions. But then you watch it and, you know, this year has been really fun, actually, because Kat's been great. But, you know, it's hard to figure out, you know, just where... Yeah, it's just hard to figure out sometimes if you like something or you don't like something.
Does the Planet Press send you out to LA to do the fall? They don't do that.
That's because I think you have to be a full-time TV critic to be on those I don't know.
The junkets?
Junkets, yeah. I don't know if they're
junkets.
How can
we get that to happen? I mean,
this is,
you know, can pal around with the, Hollywood's finest.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm perfectly happy here in Minnesota. So, but yeah, it is, I have my guilty pleasure TV shows that, geez, I hope nobody ever finds out that I watch them.
Were there any shows you were surprised that were canceled this year? I don't watch a ton of TV, but I know that, like, CBS just, you know, canceled a whole bunch of shows. Some shows I've not heard about. Was there anything that surprised you that was canceled?
Well, I think Community kind of, it didn't surprise me that was canceled, but if there are any shows that I think
That show hung out there for a long time after many...
Yeah, the problem was I was devoted Community fan for the first three seasons.
Good show. Then Chevy Chase leaves. And
yeah,
then...
and then Dan Harmon's gone, mm-hmm. you know, the writer. In that season, I did not like it. They brought Dan Harmon back. I just never got back into it, and I think that might have happened.
They had you and they lost you.
Yeah, so that one was... I was a little bummed because I did like that show. So.
I saw the Robin Williams show got canceled. Did you ever watch that?
I did.
Was it doing good? I admit, I saw it at on mute one time, and
yeah,
it's probably I guess everyone else did too.
You know, I only saw the first two episodes, so I hate, you know, shows grow, but he's got such a strong personality that I think if you don't connect to it right away, it's gonna be tough.
It's gonna be tough when you're going from and he I guess he still is. He's A-list Hollywood coming into doing back to sitcoms. What he started out with.
It's
and you're seeing a few people doing that now.
Oh, tons of people. I mean, Josh Hartnett just. Started doing Showtime's Penny Dreadful, and you know, big Hollywood star from St. Paul, took a little break, did some indie films, trying to get his name back out there, goes to television.
I think that the cable shows, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm just asking your opinion here, Don Cheadle's doing one now. I mean, there's a lot of these Hollywood guys, and I think they're seeing the success of the Breaking Bads and some of these cable shows that. And plus, they have the freedom to be able to do pretty much mini feature film every week on cable.
Yeah, and I just actually, for Fargo, I talked to Billy Bob Thornton, and he was saying kind of that same thing. Like, the time commitment is shorter, so he can go do a movie, and then the quality of the show was so strong that he can pick if he wants to do it or not based on that. You know, it's not like he needs that job. You know, he just did it because he loved the script, and he knew he could do that and then go do some movies.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
I haven't gotten there yet, and it's on my list of things to dive into.
Social media, and you know, we're both on Facebook, and you see every week, and people are really good about giving away spoilers, but I feel like there's sometimes this part of this culture of America that I'm missing out on. I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
and I just started watching Game of Thrones.
Okay,
And I'm like, am I missing a whole part of society now? I did watch Cheers and Friends. Am I missing the new millennium shows of our generation now?
There's so much good stuff, though. I don't know. I mean, I don't do TV stuff full-time, but I do it enough, and I watch enough TV on my own, but I don't watch every show. I can't watch every show, you know?
No, I'm surprised. There's so many people I know that can watch every show, but do you know people like that?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I can watch TV at work for my job.
Oh, that's what we need.
But I know, but even I can't watch every show, and I can still do that. I don't know how, like, normal people do that. So
I'm busy doing, you know, watching videos 35 years ago on peacemedianow.com, there's some times where it's like, you know what? I got to live in 2014 for about a night here, and I'll go back to the 70s tomorrow. Okay, so I have to ask you, just as a all-around TV critic and feature reporter, I want to go back to Donald Sterling for one moment again.
Donald Sterling.
I watched this interview with him and Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
And I've seen, we've had in the media today, there's usually... You can make a list of the last few years of who this week's kind of, I don't know if it's a word villain, but who the big topic is. And Donald Sterling has been the topic.
Yep.
And I have to ask, and I don't claim to be the expert at public relations or media, but someone has got to say to Donald, why did you want to do this interview with Anderson Cooper and not have a lawyer flanked by you by each side?
Well, it's like the Don Costa thing.
Yeah.
Well, you mean the Bob Costa?
Bob Costa, excuse me.
With another... gentleman that is in prison now. I was thinking about that, but I shouldn't use the term gentleman, but that why there isn't a PR person right there or saying cut this off now.
But on the flip side of that, Anderson Cooper was
TV.
Like, oh my gosh, can you even imagine? He was so excited there wasn't a PR person there.
When in fact, when I watched this, and if you have not seen this, go on YouTube or go on CNN's website. It's I'm not promoting this to laugh at it because it's obviously someone who has some challenges, but just for the TV experience, Anderson Cooper is sitting there and he's thinking to himself, well, this interview is going to get me a few a little bit of attention because Donald is digging his own grave as he's doing this interview. Did you watch it, by the way?
Well, it's interesting. Did you catch The Good Wife on Sunday night?
I missed that.
Okay, because The Good Wife on Sunday night had a CEO guy who was in trouble, and he was supposed to go on TV to make a statement. He ends up, you know, saying bad things about, you know, I can't remember if it was the Holocaust or... Anyway, he puts his foot in his mouth. He totally does that, and then it was totally Donald Sterling. I mean, it was... crazy. It was the same exact thing that happened with Anderson Cooper a day later. What I think the Cooper interview was maybe filmed before The Good Wife aired. Mm-hmm. It was like seriously TV imitating life, imitating TV, you know.
There's so many times where I look at TV and I think to myself, comedy writers couldn't write reality as well as it plays out.
I just can't, you should go and watch like the first, you should go watch The Good Wife just for that case and then go and watch the Donald Sterling thing that happened the very next day. It was just, it was crazy. The Good Wife people must have just been thrilled. So
maybe Donald will be a guest star on
The Good Wife.
Let's see where he goes. We have a cameo from the you know, Flight of the Month. Let's take a break here. We'll come back and get some more final thoughts from our guest today, Amy Gustin, on all things TV, and we'll spare Donald Sterling for the last segment here. Flashback Film City's Tom Osmond here with my guest Amy Gustin. And the good news is you can read all Amy's work on TwinCities.com. There's no paywall for the Pioneer Press, so you can read her features and items on TV, her blog.
Yep.
You have a blog? You have a
Yeah, the blog. Yeah, but I tweet a lot at Amy Gustafson. You can find me there, and all my stuff is usually does okay online, so you probably find it all on the website, and yeah.
And hey, for those that don't want to enter information, it's great to have a website here in town, that a news site that you can read the information. And
TwinCities.com.
TwinCities.com, that's right.
Yep, and you can always buy a paper anytime you want.
You should buy a paper,
because it still
right.
matters to us if we get on the front page.
And you should buy a paper. and many of us still do. There's a lot of newspapers in the KLBB studios here every day.
Yes.
We're talking just a little bit about American Idol, and I asked a really ridiculous question: who's judging it now? And Keith Urban and J-Lo.
Yeah, you don't know because you don't care, right?
I'm not American Idol's target audience, I don't think.
American Idol's audience, at its peak, you know, a normal Wednesday night or a performance night, maybe at one point drew 31 million people. I think it's doing about 7 million people right now.
Well, and that's just TV. I mean, first of all, it had its peak, and I think I could tell you the first, you know, three or four winners were American Idol, mm-hmm. and now, you know, I couldn't tell you who the last few were.
Yeah.
But that was the big thing for a while. But TV, even since that show premiered, it's just become more segmented, and the competition for what is. What people are watching, it was the Jersey Shore for a while, and it was the Kardashians. That's still a show.
That's still a thing.
People watch. Okay,
it's still
all right.
A thing.
I'm still sad. The Sing Off never really picked up.
Sing Off.
My girlfriend loves
ABC,
that.
Right.
Oh yeah.
See, my confession is I like Hell's Kitchen and like Chef Ramsay shows.
I used to too.
And the question I have, though, is now they record those all in advance, correct?
Yeah, those are all recorded in advance.
They must have some really tight legal agreements with people on those audiences.
Because never done a hard interview until you've talked to somebody on a reality show. It is impossible. They can't talk about this. Usually there's a PR person on the line who makes sure they won't talk about something.
See, they're doing the right way.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It is so tight. You know, those people sign their lives away. And I rarely hear of people breaking that.
And that's because everything gets leaked. There's nothing that does not get leaked now.
Yeah.
So I'm amazed because when I watch Hell's Kitchen, it's one of the few reality shows I watch. And you know that they're at least probably, I mean, they're either all recorded or at least the first few are recorded by the time you watch it. You don't see any internet chatter about, you know, who's going away or what's next.
It is interesting, though, like, well, take American Idol, for instance, because I've been covering that for a long time. Back in the day, they were tight-lipped about everything. You didn't know who was going to be on there from your hometown. You didn't know anything about it. And now, slowly, now people can talk right away if they've tried out. And, I mean, it's just, you know, they're just giving people more access because they're losing viewers. You know?
Is the now Idol auditions are coming to town here. When is that happening?
That's happening in June. I think it's the 18th, but please double check. Mariucci Arena. And that's the first round. I assume whoever gets picked from that round, the judges will come back in the fall and do tryouts with them.
Tom?
So, I think...
Let me get over my cold first.
Okay.
I don't know how old you are, but are you under 28?
No, I'm not.
Okay, then you can't do it.
Oh.
I thought they opened up the ages to American Idol.
No, I think it's 16 to 28, if
really?
I don't think remember
So no
correctly.
One in their 30s is allowed to be a star?
No, you're not allowed to be a star if you're over there.
That limits the KLDB
staff. That's why people like The Voice so much, because you can be, 100.
But what if I'm super cute?
Is America's Got Talent? Is that coming back again?
It is, yeah, it is. Yeah,
well, that's good. I used to enjoy that. A lot of shows when I go to Lifetime Fitness, I can see four monitors and then the sound's off, but I get the gist of it.
It's probably better with the sound
off. What's tell me again? So I asked before, and you get some of these. Where are they now? What are some of the other questions that people continually ask you about TV, or when a show gets canceled, they email you and complain also.
Not so much. No, I think they know that we don't have any control over that locally. But when they do, KSTP did that big shift with Patrick Hammer and
the traffic reporter that went away.
Yes. And then Vanita Sakkar was the year before.
Right.
That kind of stuff. People keep asking, where are they? Why did they do that? And it'll happen. How could they do that?
Yeah.
And I mean, it would happen not just at any station that moves somebody or, when CCO changed their morning show, they put different people in the morning show. There are people who liked it. And then there are always the people like, why did you change it? Because people watch, they don't want that change.
People don't like change.
Yeah,
people like
change.
Things constant. And I to a certain extent, I can respect that, understand that. The challenge is we have to live in this 2014 thing.
Sometime. Right. And you don't know if you'll like something different unless you try it.
Right.
But you also, it's such a risk to change something like that. It is a huge risk.
And people don't really seem to think about maybe this person in the workplace was a giant dink. Maybe they were impossible.
Is that a word we can
with.
Say on the show? This
I
is
believe
the third
so.
Week in a row we're saying words on this show.
We're
that,
getting nasty.
Yeah, or maybe they were a really popular person. They still got moved.
But
you
they
just
don't care.
Know.
They just what they see is all that they want, and they don't want to understand a lot of the backstory.
Yeah.
Well, when the good HR story that any stations say we don't discuss personnel matters, because they're not going to say, well, he came to work every day and yelled at all of us. No, they're not going to do that.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. So.
And also, you don't get, and no offense to the audience, but when radio and print people go away, the cry out is usually not
radio though. Who I had one of the most calls about? Al Malbec.
Oh, Al Malbec.
Malbec.
And
yeah.
You know why? It's because he had a very solid, loyal audience on
overnight.
Two different overnight.
Overnight people. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy how many people loved him and they wanted to know where he was. And I think CCO did bring him back.
They did bring him back.
Yep, they brought him back. But yeah, man, that kind of surprised me because that's not what I listen to. I'm in bed, so
right.
I don't know that world, So
well, and you figure that these audiences are small, but they're loyal. And there is a market for a small, loyal audience.
Yeah.
I mean, here we have millions listening to Twin Cities. But
yeah, right.
No. So we got some hot shows coming up. What else is cooking now this month? For May. Do you have any good investigations that the stations are doing?
I don't know. That's another thing. They don't do those as much as they used to, do they, Tom?
They don't. You can see them on tcmedianow.com.
Yeah,
I used to love the Channel 5 ones because they would get the music and everything when they would do the dramatic slow motion.
And they did some really good stuff. I mean, not all of it was good, but there was a lot of stuff that was good.
Are you going to talk to Jason Davis before he retires?
Yeah, we'll have a little something in on Sunday's paper.
And again, he was on. You'll be able to listen to the podcast with him and Stan on our website. And also, we had Jason on about a year ago, and I think we'll have to replay that.
That
maybe.
Was during the bomb scare, if I remember right.
Yeah, it was. We had a little incident here in Stillwater, and your brave host here decided that I thought it was a parade, so I just walked through the whole yellow tape, and I was almost. Brought to the prison down the road there, but
just to get to the studio,
yeah.
Hey, to get to work,
to get the the public yearns for Flashback Twin Cities. Amy, let's do this again. This is fun.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And again, Amy Gustafson. You can follow her on Twitter at
just Amy Gustafson,
and also TwinCities.com. And also do your part and buy the paper.
Yes.
They like that. And also when Amy's the front page.
Yeah, of course. Only when I'm on the front page.
This is Flashback Twin Cities. We'll be back soon on KLBB Club 1220.